Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur in the middle of Daf Yud Tes. You will notice that there is a triangle with a long marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and it is at that point where we will be beginning. In the middle of the line, it says Mosiv Rav Tuvi Bar Matana. You see a triangle here, and before this, you saw other triangles, so you know by way of the markings that we're in the middle of a sugya. In fact, we mentioned this point at the end of our previous shiur, so that the introduction that's necessary for appreciating today's discussion, naturally you'll have to see and listen to that which we did in our previous shiur. Very briefly, we're dealing with the question of, is the Megillas Tainis no longer binding? Botla Megillas Tainis, yes or no? So we saw two opinions in the previous year, and we are raising questions in throughout this sugya with the triangle facing up, with the point facing upwards. These have been questions on the opinion that said that the Megillas Tainis is Botla. We're trying to show through these questions that it's not Botla, but each time we see a response. Here we have basically we can call it the final question in this sugya. It's a very long question. Notice how it goes to the top line of Omid Beis. Mosiv Rav Tuvi Bar Matana. He quotes a source. This is a source from the Megillas Tainis, and it says Be'esrim V'tamno Bei, on the 28th of the month of Adar. The Megillas Tainis, even though we spoke about this in our last year, just to remind you, it is a list of dates that upon which one is not allowed to fast, and some of them you're not allowed to eulogize either. They're festive occasions. So are we still supposed to observe those days? Now that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, are they still binding, the restrictions of fasting and eulogizing on those dates? So Rav Tuvi quotes this source. It says, on the 28th of Adar, Osus Besurta Tov Yudoi, Besurta Tov is Mitov, says good news, came to the Yudoi, to the Jews, Delo Ya'idun Me'oraisa, that they no longer have to cease from Torah learning, that they don't have to disconnect themselves from Torah learning. So that was news that came on the 28th of Adar, special day. The Jews can now return to their Torah study. And now the background, what happened, what led up to this. Shegozra Hamalchus Gzera, the evil powers that were ruling over the Jews at that time, had issued an edict. Shelo Yasku B'Torah, that the Jews are forbidden by Roman decree, no more Torah learning. V'shelo yomulu esbenehem, and no more circumcising. V'she yichalulu shabosus, and that they shall violate Shabbos. You see, the evil Gentiles that ruled over the Jews throughout the ages, they were smart. They knew the central say, power of the Jews, the source from which the Jews gained their uniqueness and strength, and they were able to identify those elements, and they, throughout the ages, you find edicts, rulings, laws that affected the Jews in those, specifically in those areas. And the study of Torah is one of those preeminent areas. Make no mistake about it, it's Judaism is not a function of lox and bagels. So they knew that, and they made rulings against these central themes of Judaism, and you see them right over here. You have Shabbos, circumcision, a study of Torah. Ma osa Yehuda ben Shamua v'chaverov? What did Yehuda ben Shamua and his colleagues do about these edicts? Holchu v'notlu eitza mimachrumiso achas. Shekol gedoyle romi mitzuyun etzla. The Yehuda ben Shimon and his colleagues, they went to a matronisa. If you look at the word, you might see the word matron in there, and that's what it is, or even the word mother, because the tes matronisa and the th, you can see there's similarity, and this is a the word in the Gemara is a reference to some type of important lady that the Roman leaders used to be in her company. Exactly what their level of connection was, well, we'll leave that to your imagination here in Gemara markings. But they went to this matronisa that as the Gemara says, these Roman leading Roman officials were kept company with her, and Omra Lahem, this woman told the Jewish emissaries, Bo'u v'havginu balaylo, come and lead a protest, a rally at night. Holchu v'havginu balaylo. And they accepted her eitza, her counsel. Omru, and as far as their calling cry, their rally cry, they said as follows. E shamayim, it's an expression of woefulness. Rashi says, in the name, for the sake of God, lo achichem anachnu, are we not your brothers? Velo b'nei av echor anachnu, are we not the sons of the same father? Velo b'nei eim achas anachnu, are we not the sons of the same mother? And we're all mankind, descendants of Adam and Eve. Ma nishtaninu mikol umo v'loshoin. Sha'atem goyzrim olenu gzeres koshes. What is different about us that you make all of these edicts and harsh rulings? That was their cry. And it, you know what? It was effective. Ubitlum. And the Gedolei Romi, they rescinded their rulings. V'oysayoyim aso yom tov. And that day that the edicts were rescinded, they proclaimed as a holiday. And that's a reference to the 28th of Adar. So we see that the Megillus Tainus is still alive and well. The Isalkadaitach Botlo Megillus Tainus, if you were to think that Megillus Tainus is void, Komaisa Botulach Ronaisa Mosifan, the earlier dates, they canceled. They're now adding new dates. The fact that they're adding dates like this, the 28th of Adar, it's an indication that the Megillus Tainus is still binding. The Chitemo, and if you try to say, like we said in the same in this sukkah we said earlier, you might want to say, well, Hochanami Bizman Shebesa Migdish Kayam, that this is a source, this is a text from the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when everyone agrees that the Megillus Tainus was still binding, but that's not true. This text is later, it's after the destruction of the temple. V'ho Yehuda ben Shemua, Talmido Yishel Rebbe Meir. He was a student of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir, Boser Hochi Havi. Rebbe Meir lived after the temple's destruction. The Sanya, and here we have a Tanaic source. The only reason this Tanaic source is being quoted in our Gemara is for the what we see, the dashed underline at the bottom of the next line at the very end. You see, we dashed underline Yehuda ben Shemua mitame mishum Rabbi Meir. That means that in the name of Rabbi Meir, Yehuda ben Shemua rules that the item in this source is subject to the rules of Tumah. The details of the source are not relevant for our sugya, so we'll make mention of them very briefly, but not dwell on it. The main point, though, that you have to see is that this section of Gemara is just simply showing that the source above, where we had dashed underlined Yehuda ben Shemua, the 28th of Adar source, is a time after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and still they were declaring holidays, showing us that the Megillas Tainus, even after the Churban HaBayis, is still binding. And Rashi goes through some chronology, and on the side of the of our Shas Ozer Gemara page, you might notice we've written in a list of names in their chronological order. And you can see Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai heads the list, and he lived at the time of the destruction. He had a student, Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer was after this destruction, who was followed by a student, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had a student, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir had a student, Yehuda ben Shemua. So, relatively speaking, it's quite a few years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and that this story took place with the Romans and their evil edicts. How tenacious they were in their persecution of the Jews. It didn't feed their bloodthirstiness. The temple destruction, an event that involved the death of most likely millions of people. They still continued their rulings and their harshness, etc. Something to think about when you think about Jewish history and think about the enlightened powers of the world, the great Roman Empire and all of its art and philosophy and architecture and military prowess, etc. and so forth. They had nothing better to do than to persecute Jews. But that's what you see here, and unfortunately, that is something that has seen many repeats in history. This source then at the bottom showing us is here to show us that Yehuda ben Shemua was relatively late in history relative to the Beis HaMikdash destruction, and it says in this source Kli Zechuchis Shenikvu, glassware that had become Tomei, and a hole developed in it, and a hole might very well have been made in order to mitire it, to remove the defilement, because once a vessel develops a hole in it, so it no longer is considered a functioning vessel, and therefore the tumah will have departed. There's an alternative explanation, and that it actually was tumah. The question is, it was subject to becoming tumah. The two pshatim that you find in Rashi on this, and the other pshat suggests that the vessel was a regular vessel and subject to being mekabel tumah, and with the hole developing, it no longer can be mekabel tumah. The hetiv l'sechen avor. Avor is lead. The hetiv is they like melted into the hole some lead. Lead is a metallic substance, and it hardens and seals the hole. Now that the vessel has a seal in it, but it's made of metal. So, Omar Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Yehuda ben Shemua metame mishum Rabbi Meir. Yehuda ben Shemua says that this glass vessel that with the metallic seal in it, the hole being sealed with the lead, is subject to the rules of Tumah. Tupshotim on this, it means that the old Tumah that had been there returns, that's midrabanan, that's called tuma yeshana, the old tuma comes back. The other pshat is that now this vessel, this glass vessel with the metallic seal in it, is subject to tuma d'oraisa, as having the din of a metal vessel, based on the principle of hakol holich achar hamaimid. We look at that which maintains the vessel as a functioning element or entity, and that's the metal whole. So that's the concept of tumo, and it being mekabel tumo midoraisa. The chachomim etarin, the chachomim don't look at it that way. They don't place a premium on the metal seal. The main point, once again, is that we see a festive occasion being declared way after the Churban, indicating that Megillas Tainus is not Botel. So as you can see, we're at the top of Amud Beis, and now the inverted triangle indicates a response, Tanoi Hi. The entire issue of Megillas Tainus, is it still binding or not, is a Machlokes Tanoim. So that the two schools of Amoraic thought that we had seen in our previous shiur regarding this topic are really reflective of an older school of thought, as reflected by this Machlokes Tanoim, the Sanya. And the source begins, Hayomim Ho'elu, Haksuvim B'Megillas Tainus. The dates recorded in this collection of dates known as the Megillas Tainus, Bein Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, Bein Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Asurin, Divrei Rebbe Meir. Whether the Beis HaMikdash is still around, or even after its destruction, are still restricted in any expressions of mournfulness, meaning no fasting and no eulogizing. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim Asurim, when the temple is around, so they are restricted, they're also in fasting and in eulogizing, Bivnei Shesimcha Hilohem, because those in that time period when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, so these dates represent dates of a festive nature. Ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim Mutorin, with the destruction of the temple, so that create that casts a shadow on all dates, Mipnei She'evel Hu Lohem, because with the destruction of the temple, so it creates a state of mournfulness, and hence there is no restriction in fasting or eulogizing. The Gemara now rules, and you'll see it's a strange ruling. It says Vehilchisa Batlu, Vehilchisa Lo Batlu. We rule that it's all the Megillas Tainus is void, no longer binding, and we rule that it is not botel, it's still binding. Well, kashi hilchasa hilchasis would seem to indicate then we have a contradiction in the final ruling. Lo kashya. No, there's no contradiction. Kan b'chanaka upurim, kan b'shar yomi. Contained in the Megillas Tainus is reference to Hanukkah and to Purim. Well, those are dates, holidays, if you will, that they are part of Megillas Tainus, and they're still binding in the restriction of fasting and eulogizing on Hanukkah and Purim. So that is reflective of the Hilchasa Lo Batlu. And Kan Bishar Yoimi, all the other dates, so in fact, they are Batel, with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Batel once again means there's no restriction on all the other dates that you find in Megillas Tainus. We saw a couple of those in this particular sukkah, and in today's shiur particularly, you saw the 28th of Adar being one of those. The Mishnah had mentioned the different months on which the emissaries announcing the declaration of the new month, who these emissaries travel out from Yerushalayim, where the new month was established, was dedicated, was sanctified, and they announce this to all outlying communities, going as far as the communities in the diaspora. in the exile. And the quote of the Gemara is from the Mishnah here, Al Elul Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. The messengers would travel outwards from Yerushalayim out on the beginning of Elul, when Elul was declared a new month, ushered in. They would travel, and the significance of knowing when Elul was established was Mipnei Rosh Hashanah, so that people would know when to celebrate Rosh Hashanah. Look up. Once a month is declared, they would then start counting 29 days, which is the length of a standard, we'll say, lunar month. And on day 30, that would become day 1, and they would celebrate Rosh Hashanah. So it was important to know when Elul was established. The Al Tishrei, and emissaries would go out upon the declaration of Tishrei, Mipnei Takonas Hamoyados, so that people would know when to celebrate Yom Kippur and when to celebrate Sukkot, the Shmini Atzeres. All of these were holidays, the Moados of the month of Tishrei. On the side of the Gemara, before we go into the discussion, we glance at our nosei, our topic heading, where we have written the following. HaGemara Dona Vasheela. The Gemara will be dealing with a question. Im Shluchim Yotsu, Im HaShluchim Yotsu Al Elul, if the emissaries went out announcing when Elul had been sanctified, so Kfar Yod'u, or Kfar Yedu Mosai Chal Tishrei, that information would be sufficient to tell the exile diaspora communities when Tishrei sets in. As we said, once people know when Elul took place, so they'll count from that time, from that day, they'll count 29 days, and the 30th day will be the beginning of Tishrei. Lomo imkein yesh tzorech l'shluchim lotzeis al Tishrei. What's the necessity of having emissaries go out and announce when Tishrei was sanctified, was ushered in? Now, as we go through the Gemara, we've used a marking indicating the back and forth nature of this discussion. So you can see the use of these triangles with the tips that are colored in. It's a ma'akav. So with the point facing up, that represents the kushios, and the inverted one indicates the responses. So as you go, if you skim down the next few lines, you'll see this back and forth type Gemara discussion. So now the Gemara. The opening question takes a couple of lines. It says, Kevon denafki luhu a'elol. Since the emissaries have traveled announcing the beginning of Elul, atishrei loma luhu. Why does the Mishnah say that they travel again with the ushering in of Tishrei, which is simply the very next month? Whereas the people in the outlying areas are already on track, having known when Elul begins. They would, as we said, they would count 29 days. Day 30 would be Tishrei, and they'd start counting day 1 of Tishrei, day 2, etc. And they would know when Sukkot comes out. V'chitemo, you might try to explain. Dilmo ibruha le'elul, that maybe toward the end of the month of Elul, they extended Elul by one day. That is, we had said they count 29 days and day 30 becomes day 1 of the new month. Nope. Maybe they counted 30 days and extended the month of Elul by one day, having Tishrei coming out on day 31 of that counting. Day 31 of Elul really becomes day 1 of Tishrei. And it would be important for the outlying communities to know about that. Yeah, but that's not likely. The Omar Rabbi Chinino Bar Kahana, Omar Rav, Mimois Ezra V'Elech, from the era of Ezra. Ezra was the leader of the Jewish people at the time of the building of the first Beis HaMikdash. Time of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. He was at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, many years prior to this time period that the Gemara is speaking. And from those years, hundreds of years earlier, the second Beis HaMikdash itself stood for 420 years. And here we're talking, our Gemara is featuring a time period after that. So from that time onwards, Lo Motzinu Elul Mubar, we don't have on record Elul having been extended. Elul was for hundreds and hundreds of years, 29 days. Why then was there any necessity in having emissaries traveling outwards announcing the beginning of Tishrei? The Gemara answers, Lo Motzinu, this expression that the Gemara used, we haven't found Elul to be extended, means Delo Itzterich, that there was no necessity in adding a day Ha Itzterich. However, had necessity arisen for them to extend it, Ma'abrin Olay. So it would be, in fact, extended. So that since there was always a potential lurking for an extension of Elul by one day, it was necessary for emissaries to travel out and announce that. The Gemara asks, well, Ha Mekalkel Rosh Hashanah. Imagine that situation, that they would extend Elul by one day, and that means that instead of Tishrei starting on day X, it would start the next day on day Y, whatever it is. But what about all the people that live far away from Yerushalayim? When are they going to be observing Rosh Hashanah? They would have observed Rosh Hashanah based on their counting from Elul. And as we said before, generally speaking, you would anticipate a month being 29 days. They would count 29 days. On day 30 would be their Rosh Hashanah. That would turn into day 1. Then what's going to happen? They're going to find out that, well, Elul was extended by a day, and that the day they had observed Rosh Hashanah was really a day early. So then all of these communities will discover that their Rosh Hashanah is messed up. That, in other words, that they didn't celebrate it on the right day. They celebrated a day early. The Gemara answers, Mutav tekalkel Rosh Hashanah v'lo yiskalkelu kuhu mo'ados. Better for that to be revealed, so to speak, that they messed up on Rosh Hashanah, but at least they'll know when to celebrate the upcoming holidays, the Yom Kippur, and certainly Sukkot, which is a time which is later in the month, and by that time even more communities will have found out about the extension of Elul. And they'll know now when Yom Kippur and when Sukkot really fall out. So that we're willing to sacrifice, so to speak, the Rosh Hashanah accuracy in favor of the all the other holidays. Daiko Nami, careful reading of the Mishnah itself, shows us that that is what was on the mind of the sages. Dekotoni, the Mishnah taught, Al Tishrei, emissaries are sent out for the month of Tishrei Mipnei, Takonas HaMoadas, to establish the accurate time of the holidays. In other words, the other holidays, Shema Minos. So this proves that that was the primary concern. V'al Kislev mipnei Chanukah, V'al Ador mipnei Hapurim. The Mishnah also mentioned these months. The emissaries go out. They go out to tell us in outlying areas when Kislev was sanctified, was ushered in, so that people would know when to celebrate Hanukkah. And same thing with regard to the month of Ador, the month in which Purim occurs. On the side of our Gemara, we have the Nosei, the topic heading, and we read as follows. Im nis'abro hashana, if a year was extended. We saw up till now about month extensions of a day. The concept of a year extension involves adding a full month. The month of Adar is doubled, so that instead of having one Adar, you have an Adar Aleph and an Adar Beis. Technically speaking, that means that an Adar is inserted, an extra Adar is inserted between Shvat and the Adar that precedes the month of Nisan, so that we insert what we call Adar Aleph. The first Adar is inserted. So, if that happens, if an extra Adar is added, Ha'im yesh tzorech l'shluchim al Adar sheni, is there a necessity of having emissaries travel to announce the ushering in, the sanctification of the second Adar? So, l'fi mishnosenu lo, there is no necessity. And according to Rebbe, that we'll see in the Gemara, Cain, it is necessary. HaGemara Sekis, the Gemara will spend time dealing with Bi'oirech Shel Chodshei Adar, the length of these months. Imhem Choftes Yom O Lamed Yom. Are they 29 day months or are they 30 day months? The Gemara. Our Mishnah had mentioned that emissaries go out for Kislev and for Adar because of Purim. V'ilu nis'abro hashona yoitzin af al Adar sheni mepnei hapurim lo katani. The Mishnah does not add this. The Mishnah does not say that in the event that Adar sheni is celebrated or is observed, so emissaries go out for the announcement of when Adar Sheni comes in because of Purim. Well, the Mishnah doesn't say that. So then, Masnisin Deloki Rebbe, it would seem that our Mishnah is then not in accordance with Rebbe. Desanya, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Im nisabro hashono yoitzin af al Adar Hasheni mipnei hapurim. According to Rebbe, then Adar Sheni requires Shluchim being sent out because of the holiday of Purim, which will be celebrated in Adar Sheni. So, Lema Baha Komifliki. So, shall we suggest that the following is their point of controversy? Demor Sovar, the Chachomim, not Rebbe, our Mishnah holds, Kol Mitzvahs HaNehagis B'Sheni Nehagis Barishon. All the mitzvahs that would be celebrated in the second Adar are celebrated in the first Adar, which means that having celebrated Purim in the first Adar, they have fulfilled their Purim requirements. So the second Adar doesn't present any urgency for its promulgated beginning, announcement. Omar Savar and Rebbe would hold, Kol mitzvahs ha-nehagos b'sheni, ein nehagos b'rishon. All the mitzvahs that one is expected to observe in the second Adar, if he observed them in the first Adar, he would not be in fulfillment. So that you have to know when the second Adar sets in, so as to know when to observe Purim. You're not going to get any Purim credit if you observed it in the first Adar. So maybe that's the machlokis. Loi, the Gemara rejects that. It's not. The kule alma mitzvahs hanehagis b'sheni ein nehagis b'rishon. The mitzvahs that are binding in the second Adar have to be observed in the second Adar, and you don't get credit for having observed them in the first Adar. So everyone agrees you're obligated to observe Purim in the second Adar. V'hocha be'ibor shana komiflugin. Here, the two opinions, our Mishnah versus Rebbe, they argue regarding the number of days that constitute the extended month. And the extended month is, we call Adar Aleph. That first Adar, the Adar that's inserted in between Shvat and the second Adar. Or if you maybe more simply put, the Adar that is added right after the month of Shvat. How long is that month? So at this point, though, let's make it clear that everyone agrees in the second Adar, that is the time you have to observe Purim. And yet we see our Mishnah not being concerned about Shluchim being sent out announcing the second Adar. That needs explanation. Desanya, Kama Ibor Shana. How long is the extended year? And we're going to refer to this henceforth as Ador Aleph or Ador Rishon. How long is the first Ador? One opinion, Lamed Yom, 30 days. Well, if Ador Aleph is 30 days, so there's no need for Shluchim to go out announcing Ador Sheni, because the first Ador, that will be announced, as the Mishnah says, and they will know that 30 days after that month set in, as we can say on day 31, that becomes day 1 of Adar Sheni, and people will know when to observe Purim. They're counting from day 1 of Adar Sheni till the 14th of Adar, when Purim is celebrated. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Chodesh. Reb Shimon Gamliel, he represents the opinion of that's like Rebbe, that says that they do go out, and that the month of Adar Aleph is Chodesh. Now, the thinking right now is Chodesh. Chodesh literally means a month, but it means 29 days. So Adar Aleph is 29 days. So at this point, let's just go over what we've said. The Mishnah, our Mishnah, that says that they are not sent out, that's because everyone knows when Adar Sheni begins, because Adar Rishon is 30 days. Therefore, on day 31, that's the beginning of Adar Sheni. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you will need Shluchim to go out, because Adar Aleph is 29 days. The Gemara asks, this doesn't make any sense. Why is there any distinction here? My Shna Shloishim Diyadi. What's different about the opinion that says Adar Aleph is 30 days, and day 31 is the beginning of Adar Sheni, and you say regarding that, so there's no shluchim sent out. Well, Chodesh Nami Yadi, the opinion that says Adar Aleph is 29 days, so they will know when Adar Sheni begins, simply on day 30. And they'll know that from that point on, they're counting toward Purim. So why, according to that opinion, the one that says Chodesh, are we saying that Shluchim are sent out for Adar Sheni? The Gemara answer is not like we thought. Omar Rav Popo, Mandomar Chodesh, the opinion that says it's Rav Shimon Leo and Rebbe, that opinion that says Adar Aleph is Chodesh, it doesn't mean like we thought 29 days. It means Rotzah Chodesh, Rotzah Shloshim. That it's actually optional. It's vacillating from year to year. It changes from year to year. If they want to make it 29 days, it could be that Adar Aleph is 29 days. If they want to make it 30 days, they have that option too. Therefore, it's necessary and urgent for the outlying communities to know what they actually decided with regard to Adar Aleph. And that's why Rebbe will tell you that if the year was extended by inserting an Adar Aleph, how long is Adar Aleph? Well, sometimes 29 days, sometimes 30 days. So they're not going to know, based on the length of Adar Aleph, when Adar Sheni begins, the month in which they must observe Purim. So after Shluchim have been sent out for Adar Aleph, they're going to have to be sent out again announcing Adar Beis, Our Mishnah doesn't hold like that. Our Mishnah is of the opinion that once Shluchim went out announcing Ador Aleph, if you will, there's no need to send out Shluchim again for Ador Sheni. Why? Because Ador Aleph is a fixed 30 days. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a new marking. You see a house shape on the side. We have, under the Mivneh heading, Gimel Gishos Shonas, three different approaches. These are Gishos Shonas, different approaches, Be'inyan Ha'oirech Shel Chodshe Adar, regarding the length of those months. So we see different approaches to that. Hayid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Kihilo Kavisha Yerushalayim. Yeshua ben Levi literally testified, he taught, he communicated in the name of the holy community of Yerushalayim. This is a term referring to a certain entity known as the holy community of Yerushalayim. And you find throughout the Shas references made to this group of people. And in their name, he testified, Al Shnei Adorim, Shemekachin Oysom, B'yoim Iburehem. First, what is Yom Iburehem? Iburehem, it means the day of their lengthening. What is the day of a month that could represent its being lengthened? So a lunar month, sometimes you can call it a Jewish month, has to have 29 days. The lunar cycle is 29 and a half days plus a little more. So a minimum of 29 days is necessary in order to constitute a month. Is it possible that a month is longer? Yes. A day might be extended. That's called the day 30, Yom Ibur. Now, the phrase we just read, that they testified, or Rabbi Shimon Levi testified, that on the two Adars, we are Mekachim Oysom. In other words, they're sanctified as the next month, as the new month, on each one of their day 30s. What does that mean in more practical terms? So it means on day 30 of Adar Aleph, Adar Sheni is declared a new month. So how long was Adar Aleph? 29 days. Because day 30, the Yom Ibor, was declared the new month. On Adar Sheni, its day 30 is declared a new month. What's the new month? Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. How long then was Adar Sheni? 29 days. So, according to the Kehila Kadisha Yerushalayim, the two Adars were 29-day months. L'meimra, this shows us, the Chaserin Avdinon Malein Lo Avdinon, that the two Adars are always 29-day months. This approach is not accepted by everybody. La'afuke mididorash Rav Nachman bar Chista, to the exclusion of that which Rav Nachman taught. The Dorish Rav Nachman bar Chista, Heid Rebbe Simoi. Rav Nachman teaches that Rebbe Simoi testified, Mishum Chagai Zechari Malachi, in the name of the three prophets that constituted the end of the prophet era, the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. These three prophets lived into the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash period. They were part of the returnees from the Babylonian exile. And they had said, Al Shnei Adorim, regarding the two Adors, in a leap year situation, Shimrotsu La'asoysun Shnei Emleim Oysim, if they should want, they can make both full months, both 30-day months. Shneim chaserim oisin, if they should want, they can make them both abbreviated months, missing months, meaning 29-day months. Echad molei ve'echad chaser oisin, if they want to make Ador Rishon full 30 days and Ador Sheni 29 days, that's also an option. V'kach hoyu noyagin b'goylo. And that's how they used to conduct themselves in the exile. Umishum Rabbeinu Amru, in the name of Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu is explained by Rashi as being Rav. In the name of Rav, that it was said, La'oilom echod molei ve'echod chaser. It is always to be as follows, that Ador Aleph is molei, is 30 days, and Ador Sheni is 29 days. Ad shivod aloch shehukba rosh chodesh bizmano. Until those coming from Eretz Yisrael, until they would tell you that Beis Din sanctified Ador Sheni on day 30 of Ador Rishon, making Ador Rishon, in fact, Choser itself, 29 days. Sholchu Lei Lamar Ukva. It was sent to Mar Ukva, Ador HaSomach LeNisan, LeOilom Choser. So this information was sent to Mar Ukva that the Ador that precedes Nisan, which we would call Ador Sheni, or that would be in a leap year situation, but whatever, the Ador that precedes Nisan, that Ador is always 29 days. Well, this is going to be challenged, and we should note structurally that you see we have an aleph and we have diamonds around Rav Nachman here, and at the top of Daf Chof Amud Aleph, you will see on the third line from the top there's an Ikra di Amri, a second version where Rav Nachman appears also in a diamond, and this represents a second approach. In the first approach, Rav Nachman is quoted as challenging that which was just taught. In the second approach, Rav Nachman is brought in as supporting this teaching. So the issue right now is Ador HaSomuch LeNisan. How long is it? Mosiv Rav Nachman. He challenges, and this involves a question that lasts to the top line of Chof Amud Aleph. Al Shnei Adorim, Al Shnei Chodoshim, Mechalin Es HaShabbos. Regarding 2 months and the necessity of the witnesses to come from their sighting of the new lunar phase, from wherever they are, even if they are more than 2,000 amas from Yerushalayim, they're beyond the tum of Shabbos. On Shabbos, there's a distance restriction of how far a person can walk. And we say that a person is restricted to be within 2,000 amas of the location he is in as Shabbos sets in. That's called tum. However, for 2 months, we allow Chilul Shabbos, meaning the witnesses that see the new phase, and their testimony is necessary for establishing a new month, they can come from outside the Tum Shabbos to the court to tell them about the sighting. And what are those 2 months? Al Nisan v'Al Tishrei. The ushering in of Nisan to inform them when Nisan is setting in, and likewise for the month of Tishrei. These 2 months are very significant in the sense that in Nisan and Tishrei you have the major holidays. E Amris Bishlamo, if you say that Zimnin Mole Zimnin Choser, that the month of Adar that precedes Nisan doesn't have a fixed length. Sometimes it's Mole, sometimes it's 30 days, sometimes it's 29 days. So it not having a fixed length, so Mishum Hachim Machalim, therefore I understand why it's necessary for the witnesses to come in to testify. If they did they see the new phase on day 30? And if they saw the new phase on day 30,
Well, if they don't come and testify, so they're not going to declare day 30 as the new, as the beginning of the new month until the next day, and they'll make Adar 30 days, sanctifying Nisan on day 31. So that if you accept the idea of Adar that precedes Nisan as being non-fixed, having possibility of being mole some or choser, so the point of time that the new Nisan is, that Nisan is going to be established, is totally dependent on the witnesses coming in to testify. Rashi says, "Mishum hoch mechalinim im ra'uhu biyom shloshim." If they see the new phase on day 30 of Adar, shim lo yavo v'yaidu shira'u hayom. If the witnesses don't come in and testify that we saw it today on day 30, lo yikatshuhu based in ad mocher. They won't sanctify Nisan until the next day, until day 30. And v'asu es hachoser mole, and they'll end up making the month of Adar, which otherwise would have been chaser, would have been 29 days, they're going to end up making it a 30-day month. The Gemara continues at the top of Chof Amen Aleph. Elo I amris lo'oilom chaser. If you're going to say like that, which was told to Mar Ukva, that the Adar that precedes Nisan is always 29 days, which would mean that even if the witnesses don't come on day 30 to testify, day 30 will automatically be day 1 of Nisan. Then amai mechalinon, why is there a permission? Why is permission granted for them to mechal Shabbos? Their testimony is not of great urgency. Rashi at the top, even if the witnesses don't come on day 30 of Adar with their testimony of the new phase, they'll sanctify that day 30 as day 1 of the new month of Nisan. Why are they allowed to come from outside the Tchum with their information? The Gemara answers, you know why? Because there's a new factor. Mishum de mitzvah lekadesh al horiyah, because there's a special commandment and fulfillment of that commandment, a mitzvah to have a new month sanctified based on sighting riyah, their visual sighting of the new phase. In other words, it's not just a means to an end to have the witnesses come and testify, and through that we know when the new month is to be ushered in, but it's an ends in itself to have new months established based on witnessing and testifying, and not something automatic. So at this point in the Gemara, we thought that we were going to challenge the idea of Aleph, of Adar being le'olam choser. No, I can still tell you it's always choser. Why then are we allowing violation of Shabbos for the sanctification of Nisan? Because of this goal, the ends in itself, to having testimony said in Beis Din about the new phase. Ika diamri. Now, it's basically, textually, it's almost the same exact Gemara, but you'll see how it starts from a different vantage point. So this is another version, and as we open up this other version, the thinking is that the Chilul Shabbos mentioned in the Mishnah that were Mechal Shabbos for the months of Nisan and Tishrei, why? Because of this mitzvah, that it's a mitzvah lekadesh al piyor iya. So that the testimony becomes a goal in and of itself, a fulfillment of the mitzvah of simply having testimony about the new phase. So another version is, Amar Rav Nachman Af Anan Nami Tanina. We have our Mishnah supporting, the Tanaic source, the Mishnah supports that idea that Adar HaSomuch L'Nisan is always Choser. Is always 29 day months. And how are we going to support that? It says, Al Shnei Chadoshim Mechalin Es HaShabbos, Al Nisan V'Al Tishrei. For the sake of 2 months, So the witnesses that see the new phase of the moon can come from outside the Tchum Shabbos to the court in Yerushalayim to testify about their sighting. If you say that the month preceding Nisan, the Adar that precedes it, is always 29 days, Mishum Hochi Mechalalinon, because of that, we understand why there's Chilul Shabbos, the Mitzvah L'Kadesh Ariyah, because we want to have the, we want to hear their testimony because of the special mitzvah of having testimony stated. Elo Iyamri Zimnin Mole Zimnin Choser, if you're going to say that the Adar that precedes Nisan is flexible, sometimes it can be 30 days, sometimes it can be 29 days, Amai Mechalalinon, if they see that day 30 is going to come out on a Shabbos, why would we allow the witnesses to come from outside the Tchum to testify about the new sighting? Why not just extend Adar by one day instead of declaring the new month of Nisan on Shabbos? Declare the, let Shabbos be in fact day 30 and declare the new month the Mochar on Sunday. So this Chilul Shabbos proves that the Adar has a fixed amount of time. There's no flexibility, because if there was flexibility, we would adjust things so as to avoid the Chilul Shabbos. The Gemara rejects this. This isn't, we don't have support that Adar is always 29 days. In the Ikla Yom Shloshim B'Shabbos, if as the scenario we just presented, day 30 is on Shabbos, where that would be, so Hochinami, you're right, we would extend it because the Adar could be extended. The Adar HaSomach L'Nisan could be extended by a day. Hocha B'Mayaskin, on the case that we see that your Mechalal Shabbos for Nisan is a specific case. The Ikla Yom Shloshim V'Echad B'Shabbos. The day 31 comes out on Shabbos. Now, we have to explain. On the previous day, on Friday, there was no sighting. They didn't see the new month. So there was no possibility of being Mekadesh Al-Pi Hori'iyah on day 30, on Friday. On day, the new sighting, though, was likely then on day 31, which was a Shabbos. Now there's no more flexibility, you can't extend the month any more than that. So we say that if day 31 comes out on a Shabbos and there was no sighting on Friday, so we have no choice now. They have to mechal Shabbos, the mitzvah lekadesh al ariyah, because of that mitzvah to mekadesh, to sanctify based on the new month, the new to sanctify based on the sighting of the new lunar cycle. The Gemara asks, based on this we just said about mitzvah l'kadesh ariyah, is that really so? Mosiv Rav Kahana, kishehamikdash kayom, when the Beis HaMikdash was around, mechalin af al kulon mipnei takonas hakorbon. Takonas HaKorban means to know when to offer the Rosh Chodesh Korban. So it was important for the witnesses to come and testify about the new month sighting, of the new lunar sighting, and to come from outside the Tchum Shabbos. Mechalin is the Mechal Shabbos for all the months, because in the time Beis HaMikdash there was a Rosh Chodesh Korban at the beginning of every month. Midekulhu lav mishum the mitzvah l'kadesh al ariyah, from the fact that all the other months, so there, the Chilul Shabbos was not a function of the uniqueness or the specialness of sanctifying based on a sighting. Nisan v'Tishrei nami lav mishum the mitzvah l'kadesh al ariyah. So Nisan and Tishrei are not governed by that consideration. Well, I amris bishlamo zimnin mole v'zimnin choser, if you take this approach, that sometimes it's the month of Adar is full, is 30 days, sometimes it's 29 days, mishum hochi mechalalinon, so I understand why they would have to mechalal Shabbos. And because we have to know when exactly to bring the Rosh Chodesh Korbanos. But if you're going to say that it's always a 29-day month, and we've ruled out the Kiddush Al Pi Uriah consideration, that's not in our thinking right now. That's not an issue to begin with. So, if you're going to say that the month of Adar, the month that precedes Nisan, is always 29 days, that means on day 30 is always going to be the new month of Nisan, and that's when you will offer the Korbanos Amai Mechalalinon. Why is there an allowance to Mechalel for that for the month of Nisan? There's no need. If your whole consideration is the Korbanos accuracy, you'll know that because of the Adar being before Nisan always being 29 days. Apparently, it's not always 29 days. Tufta. So this, in fact, is a refutation of that approach. And we would end, this Gemara then would end off that the month of Adar that precedes Nisan could be 29 days, it could be 30 days, and hence there was a need in the time of the Beis HaMikdash to have the witnesses that see the new sighting come in, even if that means violating Shabbos, violating Tchum Shabbos, so that we know about the day in which to offer the Rosh Chodesh Nisan Musaf Korbanos. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially with regard to accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.